Hey gang, Yankees and Gravy, back at you. I think this is the third episode. Which is ridiculous, because if there's only three episodes, I should freaking know how many episodes there are. But that's not interesting to you. I am back in action. We had the laptop on the fritz for a little while. I had to send it in to the Geek Squad. I don't know if you guys have ever had that delightful experience of dealing with the Geek Squad. I mean, they fixed the computer, but the thing takes like 6 days. All they had to do was replace a hard drive, so I had to purchase another hard disk. This is not interesting at all, I could tell you. But one thing I will tell you is these guys really are geeks. You do kind of go up, and I got to go to work, you know what I mean? I'm going to pick up my laptop on the way to work, and the closeout process is the most maddening thing in the world. Because you walk up there, first you have to wait in line, because people, when they have computer problems, you know how it is. It's like, you know, they don't really know how to effectively describe what's wrong with the computer. So there's like a whole process by which they have to kind of effectively attempt to communicate what is wrong with it. Then they go in the back. These geeks, they go in the back. You don't see them for a little while. You're standing out there. You're looking at each other. You don't know when they're coming back. Then they finally come back. Whatever. Now it's my turn. I'm up there. All I think I'm doing is picking up. And my guy comes out, and he looks like a... How do you describe this guy? He looks like a geeky Elvis. He's like, he took a lot of time, you could tell, on his hair. He had little mini sideburns going, but then he didn't have the glasses and the whole geek getup. So now you're standing there, and you're basically trying to just get your computer back. And for some reason, this is where it's like maddening. You think you're just going to pick it up, say thank you, and get the hell out of there. The guy was looking at stuff, reading over paperwork, scanning barcodes on the paperwork, typing profusely into the computer, and then looking, then scanning again, then going into the back. I had to say something to the guy. I'm like, buddy, I got to leave. I can't stay here. Is it ready? It's sitting right here. It looks like it's ready for me to just take and go. Oh, yeah, sorry. Just give me 2 more minutes. Okay, another 10 minutes later. It's just the last little, you would think it should be a 5-second process. Scan the barcode, pay whatever I got to pay, and get out of there. But no, it's taken an hour and a half. So I was in there for 25 minutes when I thought I was going to be there for just to pick up. Had to get to work. Either way, I appreciate you letting me vent. Here's, you know, it is a little bit of a coincidence that we're doing this podcast on the 21st, which is in the wake of the last game, which is on the 20th against the Astros. I think this is it, guys. I think that seventh inning when, you know, the Astros opened up a little bit, I think the season's over. I think that's it. I just feel as though when they scored in that seventh inning, those few runs to go ahead and stay ahead, I feel as though that was our last hope, and that was with that inning ending, so ended our chance, any chance for us to make a wild card push. And to be honest with you, what are you going to do? Were they going to really go anywhere? Was this team going to go to the World Series? I guess if you're in the world, if you're in the playoffs, I guess you're happy, and that's the goal, because anything can happen. Somebody may get hurt somewhere else, you know, I don't know, whatever. It was crazy stuff. Maybe a freaking piano falls out of the sky and takes out half the Detroit pitching staff, which I know they're not playing that well, but you got to kind of believe that they're going to bounce back. Either way, Yanks are done. That's a wrap on the season. I'm a whack job Yankee fan, I could tell you that right now. I still like the team. I like this team because, I don't know, I'm one of those Yankee fans that just don't enjoy dominating. Is that weird? I mean, if I was playing, I think I would love nothing more than dominating. But as a fan, how much satisfaction do you get? Okay, we won a 90, you know, I'm not going to keep going back to these 90s teams, but I like it better when we're having to fight it out, when we're having to be gritty. But, again, you can only do so much. You can't work miracles. What are you going to do? This is an average team. I don't know what else you could say. You have a, think about it. You have a catcher who's underachieving. You have a first baseman who, you love Tex, and, you know, he's had a great career, and I'm sure he still has plenty of baseball left in him. But the guy is fragile as hell. He gets hurt every other week. He's definitely never going to hit like he used to hit. He can still produce, give you some good power numbers, RBIs, whether it's because of age or whether it's because of the shift. Tex is done. Second base, to me, that's it. That's the reason right there. Guy Steven Drew comes in, gives us a good little lift. He's, you know, sound defensively at second base. But you're not going to win anything with your second baseman who starts hitting 175. You're going from a perennial top five MVP candidate / top five batting title candidate, good power, one of the best. What are you going to say? He's the second best. Cano is the best second baseman in the American League to Steven Drew, who's hitting 175. Come on, you know? Shortstop, Derek Jeter. Let's just be honest. We're carrying the guy. He's a good player right now. He's a solid player. He's hitting, what is he hitting now, 268? You love him there. He's serviceable. But he's by far a supporting guy right now rather than a, you know, a guy you're going to build around or base your team around. Especially now that one of the things I said in the other podcast, I'm not going to go into it too deep again, but Jeter's not Jeter anymore. So like it or not, I'm not even talking about the batting average. I'm talking about the fire, the look in the eye, the hustle, the killer instinct. What made him Jeter? That's gone. He's riding this out. He's preserving his body. He's trying to stay healthy so that he can finish this season. And again, I'm not saying I blame him. I am a little surprised. I never thought Jeter knew a different way than full speed ahead. But apparently he's trying to preserve and finish the season. Third base, Headley. You got to really like what you got out of him. Doesn't look like he's going to be around next year. So it looks like it could be an epic battle between Prado and A-Rod for third base next year. Which, I mean, that's just going to, come on. We'll get to A-Rod in a second. But then you got the outfield. Ellsbury and Gardner, solid as rocks. I mean, you're not getting any power out of the outfield, but you are getting two of the better players in the game. Can't knock that. You know, and you can't knock what you got defensively and offensively as playmakers. And those are your two best players, Gardner and Ellsbury, consistently throughout the year. And yes, absolutely, hats off to those guys. And then, you know, by committee in right field, whether it's Ichiro, whether it's this guy, that guy, you know, Prado, whoever you're going to put out there, is basically at this point in their career, is a role player. And then your pitching staff, forget it. Are you kidding me? You have, what did it end up being? Who's Kuroda, right? Kuroda's the last man standing. And you're going to talk about five pitchers, you know. I mean, four out of your five original starters go down. And then one of your replacement starters, talking about Phelps. How the hell are you supposed to win? The bullpen has been great. It looks right now like it might be beginning to get a little tired, which you got to understand that's naturally going to happen. Listen, the whole team is fairly talented, is a good group of guys, but they're also old. There's not too much depth, to be honest with you. And honestly, you're just looking at a good team, a slightly above average baseball team. And really, to be where they were and to fight as hard and as long as they did, you have to be kind of impressed with them and you have to appreciate what they brought to the table. I enjoyed watching this team just like I enjoyed watching the end of last year. I'm really glad. I'm just glad we just didn't, you know, run away with the division or win the division and then just trot the A-Rod, Swisher, Teixeira trifecta out there to just literally choke, and you know, sometimes Granderson to just choke and clog up the middle. They just froze up. So I'm just happy that we have a little bit of a different mix. What I will say again is that we don't have an identity. You know, the Yankees are always, and I'm going back to the 90s and the early 2000s, they're always going to be judged against those teams. You just can't help it. The bottom line is, stop it. Just stop. Think back with all these tributes going on, the Tino Martinez tributes, the Paul O'Neill tributes, and then you start thinking about guys like Jorge and Uncle Joe Torre, who's going to be honored this Saturday at Yankee Stadium as well. Stop it. Just you're talking about the two. You're talking about the, let's just call them the shitty Yankees back in 96, 97, 98, 99. Scott Brosius and Joe Girardi. I mean, these are the guys who were like the bottom of the barrel guys. But what you had in them was warrior mentalities. Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, Tino Martinez, Derek Jeter when he was Derek Jeter. Just pitchers who would battle you. Cone, you know, David Wells, just perennial winners. Guys who knew only one way, who went out there and didn't accept anything less than winning. Starting with the ownership. Just go with the ownership alone. You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest. These guys are good businessmen nowadays. They're good at making money. They're good at turning a profit. George Steinbrenner wanted to win. And that's the only acceptable option was winning. You didn't hear much talk about business. I'm sure it had to have gone on. But, you know, X's and O's business-wise took a way, way, way back seat to winning. And, yeah, he was a pain in the ass. And, yeah, he screwed up a lot, like we talked about. But it's just right now from ownership down to – and then every player right now. Where's the personality? Where's the leadership? Where's the guy? Where's the driving force that's – you know, I remember I used to love watching the Yankees because for a team that was like, you know, the class of the Major League Baseball and, you know, did all that winning, they were always at the top step. They were always just all at that top step, greeting guys, still doing that team mentality because they understand what that works. Who do you got, guys? You got mercenaries. Headley's a good guy. You know, Headley's a nice player. But he's a mercenary. He's going to be gone soon. And you know what? He's going to do his best. Just like last year, the whole Hafner and the whole Overbay thing. These guys who were just coming through. Even Ibanez. You don't have any real Yankees. Come on. What would you do for a Jorge Posada? Like fiery type personality right now, a Paul O'Neill type of personality, a Jim freaking Leyritz personality right now. I'm getting upset as I talk, but look around on that team. The one guy you did have and do have was Jeter, and Jeter does not have it. The best player on the team, the best two players on the team, is Gardner and Ellsbury. Now Gardner, you like the fire, you do, but you know what? He should be a piece, a complimentary piece. He should not be your best player. Betances is your best pitcher. But this guy, and rightfully so and good for him, he's a rookie, and he's acting like a rookie from what if you listen, if Michael Kay has any clue as to what he's talking about, he said he may be an all-star as a rookie. He may be throwing 100 miles per hour, but he knows his place in the clubhouse. Maybe he shouldn't freaking know his place in the clubhouse. Maybe he should go in the clubhouse and replace a Mariano Rivera, as crazy as that sounds. But again, this team does have talent issues, but beyond the talent issues, it has personality issues, it has identity issues, it has that lack of killer instinct. So it's just not going to happen. What are you going to say? All right, so A-Rod, speaking of people who are not going to solve that problem, A-Rod is going to come back next year, and that's going to be interesting. I guess they said it's still a question. He's been in seclusion, which is the best idea. He's had in 2 years. He's been in seclusion, maybe 10 years. But he's been in seclusion, and he hasn't been speaking to many people. He's just been working out bi-coastally. They say he's doing some time at UCLA. He's also working out in Miami a little bit. He's taking grounders. He's not hitting live pitching yet, but he is hitting off a tee. He has a lot of surgeries under his belt. He is 39 years old. He is not able to reap the benefits of juice anymore. And he's going to have a hell of amount of scrutiny on the field. Now, this could be a business decision too. A-Rod is going to probably have to play next year, whether it's third base, whether it's DH. I know it'll cause a little bit of a logjam if Beltran can't play the field too much. But A-Rod, people are going to come watch A-Rod. And again, going back to the business mentality of the new regime, you gotta be fiscally responsible. And if people are gonna come to see A-Rod play, you put him at third base or DH, whatever, just to see if people are gonna wanna see A-Rod play. And then business wise, I guess that's gonna happen. So that's what that's looking like next year. But, you know, it's either gonna be him or Prado. I don't know if there's gonna be an open competition between the two of them. But hey, in closing on A-Rod, it's good that he's being quiet. It's good that he's working out. But there is a shitstorm about to happen next year when this guy bursts back on the scene. But I don't know. I'm one of the guys, I guess, you know, whatever you want to take personality types for what they are. And I guess my thing is the fact that everybody's piling on this guy makes me kind of root for him. He's a jerk, probably. He chokes, probably. He lies about steroids, most definitely. And quite frankly, he's probably not that good anymore. But part of me, just because of the piling on, kind of wants to get behind this guy and root for the underdog. And man, you know, say what you want right now about A-Rod's an asshole. Screw A-Rod. I hate A-Rod. Fuck A-Rod. But I'll tell you right now, if he hits 5 home runs in April or 10 home runs in, you know, between April and May, and gets hot and is hitting 290, driving in runs, breathing some life back into a Yankee team that's up in near first place, all of you assholes out there are gonna, yeah, good, all right, A-Rod, you're gonna be giving standing ovations. In fact, I bet when he gets back on that field, it's gonna be mixed. I bet the cheers drowned out the boos. I'll say that. You heard it here at 16 minutes and 43 seconds into my podcast, my third podcast, I think. You will hear more cheers than boos for A-Rod. Let's see what happens. All right, our buddy, getting back to Pineda. So Pineda pitched tonight. Man, this guy's talented. You could watch him pitch, and he's got – his ball has some life. It has movement. You know, one thing I will say, I don't know about the heart, though. I don't know if he's – I think he is healthy. But Pineda, in his last two starts, did something. He tells you when he wants to come out of the game. It's kind of weird. It's kind of awkward. You're just kind of like – because I watched the game at work, and I don't have the sound on, so I'm watching him, and the last two games in the fifth inning, he takes these long walks around the mound. He starts, like, stretching out and, you know, rolling his pitching arm and elbow and kind of doing some extra stretches, making, like, a little bit of a grimacy face. He's basically, to me, he's telling them that he wants to come out of the game. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know if he just has no heart. I don't know if he's afraid of the moment he's in or whatever. Or I don't know if this guy's hurt. I don't know what his deal is. But that's definitely happened the last two. And then Girardi did put him back out for the sixth. And I guess it worked out. So keep an eye on Pineda. He's ultra talented. But he's got a freaking, you know, it's weird. The whole pine tar thing was weird. He gets hurt again. I don't know. So hopefully he'll finish out the year and have a good feeling going into next year and have some confidence. Talk about Tanaka. Listen, it does make sense to me when people say he should just shut it down, have the surgery, and then, you know, come back the following year. I guess that makes sense. Now, I guess, what is it, 2016? Jeez, this freaking years are going so fast. How fast did this summer go? I mean, it's Labor Day already, almost. But that's life. So I don't know. I feel the same way. In my mind, you know, what do you? Let's just not play around with this guy. You got a world class talent here, one of the best pitchers in the world. Don't screw with him. But on the other hand, who the fuck are we? The doctors say that he can and may be able to have this thing heal on its own. And he seems to feel fine. So far, he's played catch. Sorry, we got a passing garbage truck. Late nights in Astoria. The city never sleeps. So basically, he played catch. All went well. Then I guess he threw 30 pitches, all fastballs. That went well. I guess the next move is to throw batting practice. So far, seems like it's okay. He has been emphatic through his interpreter about how good he feels, and he genuinely, in his heart, believes that this thing is over, that his injury's in the rearview mirror. That's it. I guess we'll wrap up the podcast for today. I just wanted to kind of touch base. Hopefully, we'll pick up more steam. Like I said, trying to do the best I can with this thing. I am not a professional broadcaster, and I am not a full-time Yankee correspondent, but I'm just a big, big fan. As the season winds down and we fall deeper and deeper into, you know, or I should say out of the wild card race. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I'm also, that's another thing about me. As much as I like to be in the battle mode and kind of have to fight for what we get and scrap for what we get rather than just kind of dominate, I'm also one of those pessimistic fans that, I guess, whatever you want to call it, I precondition myself to be disappointed. So that's why I say things like I'm saying. I feel like they're out of it. Obviously, they're not technically out of it, but I think that's kind of the direction we're going in. But as we do, as I'm predicting, if I prove to be right, fall deeper and deeper into the abyss, we're going to focus more on the gravy. I'm going to come up with other stuff to talk about, whether it's off the cuff stuff that has nothing to do with sports, whether it's some football stuff. How you guys doing? You guys on any fantasy teams? Are you? I haven't even looked at that stuff yet. I'm in two leagues. I got two drafts set up, and I haven't even started looking at the you know, any of the information yet. That's, you know, player rankings and stuff like that. But we'll focus some, you know, other sports. I'm looking forward to the Knicks. Again, Yanks are the main deal here. Trying to get better each podcast. We'll go off the cuff a little bit more here and there. And we'll just basically, I guess, freestyle. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe on iTunes. And please recommend this podcast to your friends. Thanks again. We will talk to you soon, folks.